John 7. That should be familiar to some of you. It's one of our memory verses for our Sunday school. Should be familiar with it. We went over one of the others Saturday morning at our prayer time, one of the other memory verses. It helps if you know what's going on around it to help you memorize it. Psalms 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The men are about 10 verses, 10 stars behind the women. So guys, if you want some good food, if you want the women to be cooking and not the guys, then you've got to work at it. Either one or two things. You do your memory verses or go to chef school. The others, huh? Okay. That's our little deal there. You know, the winner feeds the loser. We all eat together. Have a good time. Just a little fun thing to do. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for what you've given us in your holy word. God, help us apply it. Help us understand it. Help us hide these words in our heart, that we might not sin against thee. We might grow and be strong and be of courage and power and love as we serve you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As by the name of this, it is the second epistle of Paul to the apostle Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young man that Paul had taken under his wing, that he was training to go into the ministry. 1 and 2 Timothy are letters that he wrote to him to encourage him in the ministry, to challenge him in the ministry, to give him guidelines in the ministry, and give him some rules and regulations and some things. You find in here about deacons and pastors and things like that. All these things are in these books here. But here, in verse 6, as he's talking to Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Lay him aside as a minister of the gospel, as a preacher. They laid hands on him, a type of ordination, but they set him aside. Now look, stir up the gift of God to be a pastor or to be a preacher. It's a God-called position. It's got something that God lays on people's hearts. It's not, well, I decide this day that's what I'm going to do. Something that God gives you. But that's when we have verse 7. For God is... Now listen, for is connecting us with the previous verse. We look at these verse numbers and we just change our train of thought at each verse number. It doesn't work that way. You've got to put all this together. Hath given us... Now listen, he had the gift of God in him. But he's also given us. That includes Paul. That includes Timothy. That includes those of you that are saved. He has not given us the spirit of fear. Small s there. We studied this morning in Sunday school class about Gideon. And how that the Israelites are under pressure and persecution. And how that they couldn't have crops. They couldn't do anything. Every time they get a crop, they'd come in and take it away from them, destroying their land and all kinds of things. Gideon was hiding behind the wine press, thrashing out his wheat. There was fear in the land. But when God came to Gideon and God talked to Gideon, God called Gideon. Gideon saw the signs of God. God spoke to him and he followed God's word. And God, when he first introduced himself to Gideon, he says, "You are a man of valor." God knew what was in him. That's why he called him. Well, he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. It's not a gift of fear to be that. Listen, as a Christian, what do you have to fear? I mean, the worst that can happen is you die. Well, that's how you get into heaven. That's the worst that can happen. Now this, there's persecution going around in the world today. Churches are burned. Preachers are... There was that Gomez, the man down that worked on that Bible. His nephew was kidnapped down in Mexico. I think he got him back. I don't know all the details yet, but they got him back. Kidnapped his nephew. Large monies and stuff like that. Churches are burned. They're beaten. In some countries, they run over them with the rock crushers and the pavers, all kinds of things, just so they can hear their bones pop. All of those things they do to people in these countries. The Muslim countries, they chop your head off. They don't care. But with God on your side, there's nothing to fear. Hey, we don't want to hurt. Yeah, I know that. But God's going to take you through those times. There's no way that the martyrs could have went through what they went through without the grace of God helping them through those things. The first martyr we have in the book in the Bible, Stephen, as they were stoning him to death, he says his face looking like an angel. He looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he says, forgive them not, for they don't know what they're doing. You're being stoned to death. You're getting hit with rocks and all that kind of stuff. You can't be having that kind of an attitude if you're in all that pain. God brings them through those times. God gives them the grace through those things. I mean, they'd haul them off to burn them at the stake. And they couldn't stop them from preaching or singing. So one of them, they'd either cut their tongues out, pull their tongues out. One of them, they put a bolt through their tongue as they hauled them off in cages to burn them at the stake. And they would hum the songs and praise God. They used Bibles for fuel as they burned them at the stake. Put them on skewers and coat them in wax and light the roadway. All kinds of things they did. Women's children, throw them up in the air and they'd catch them on a sword in front of the mothers. All these things they did because they hated God. But God brought them through that. You read Hebrews chapter 11, especially the latter part of it. They talk about a better resurrection they have coming to them because of what they went through. But listen, He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. I'm nervous about the way this country's going. I don't know what's going to happen. Some of the laws and some of the things they're passing. Some of the things they're trying to control and trying to do. But I know God's still on the throne. But He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. What's it say? But of power. Fear takes your power away. The Spirit of God gives you power to stand up for what you know is right and not compromise and be steadfast. As those 300 men stood around and broke their pitchers and blew their trumpets and said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. 300 against an innumerable number of soldiers and army out there. They stood their ground and they didn't compromise and they stayed put. As you need to today. Power and of love. Now many people take this love and they make it fit their own agenda. If you've had children somewhere in the past, I'm sure they told you you don't love them because you don't let them have what they want. I mean, that's a normal child response to rules and regulations and not getting what they want. No, you love them enough to do what's right. The people that are afraid to punish their children don't love them. They love themselves more than they do the children because they don't have enough gumption to do what's right because God gave them those children and they don't have enough gumption to do what's right. They love themselves more because they don't want to do it. Listen. He's giving you the spirit of power and of love. Is there anyone more powerful in the universe than God Himself? No. Is there anyone that has a greater love than God Himself? No. They go hand in hand. The power that God has, if He didn't love us, this earth wouldn't even be here anymore. Look what happened in the days of Noah. What happened with Adam and Eve? Cain and Abel. All of these ones through the Bible. all of these people, God loved them. God cared for them. God helped them. Because He's all powerful, He's all lovable. He hasn't given us those things. But what's the rest of the verse? Not of power and of love and what? Sound mind. Well, that's kind of a rare thing some days here lately. A sound mind. I listened to the news the other day about some criminals, that criminal of the week or whatever it was, you know. He's robbing some Taco Bell. I don't remember what it was now. But they blackened their face with permanent markers. Not real smart, you know. Well, they wouldn't have been very smart. If they were smart, they wouldn't have been doing what they were doing anyway. But a sound mind. Stable. Not talking about being smart. How about having wisdom and a sound mind? Look at things and see them. I've known some people that had a sound mind. They could understand people. They could read people. They could deal with situations. They may not have known algebra 2 or something like that, but they had a sound mind. They were stable in their ways. They weren't tossed to and fro by every wind of the doctrine, as it says in Ephesians. They had a sound, solid foundation in their life because they got it from the Word of God. Now in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Why? Because you don't have the spirit of fear. Because you have power. Because you have love. Because you have a sound mind. There's nothing to be ashamed about being a Christian. There's nothing to be ashamed about hanging up for Jesus. And listen what else he says here. Nor of me his prisoner. This is one of his prison epistles, one of his prison letters. He wrote while he was in prison. Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. Paul was in prison for witnessing to kings and emperors and princes. He was in prison for standing up for the Word of God. He was in Rome probably at this time. Wound up getting his head chopped off. So don't be ashamed of me because I'm in prison. I'm not here because of anything I've done wrong. I'm here for standing up for what's right. The rest of verse 8. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. There's going to be afflictions if you stand for the gospel. According to the power of God. That's where this power comes from, is God. You have power. You have love. You have a sound mind. But you got this from God. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. As a Christian. As a Christian, listen, as a Christian, as a born again, washed in the blood, Lamb of God, name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, as a Christian of Jesus Christ, He's your Savior, He's the only one you're trusting, you know that you're saved, you have a holy calling on your life. Each and every one of you has a holy calling from God on your life. It's not just preachers and missionaries and teachers and bus workers and all. No. What do? Save you to sit down and warm a seat? You've got a calling. You've got a duty. You've got a job. You've got a responsibility. Wherever you are, whatever walk of life you're in, wherever you work, whatever you're doing, you are always a Christian. You don't take off your Christian uniform and leave it in the closet when you go to work on Monday. That's part of your life. It's a 24/7. Well, I'm a Christian on Sundays, but not on Monday. Or not when my favorite program comes on TV or whatever. or my favorite band or whatever. No. You got a calling on your life. A holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. He has a calling on your life. By His own purpose and grace, He gives you the grace to do it, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The foreknowledge of God over 6,000 years ago knew that on October the 1st, you would be sitting here a little after, is this what, November the 1st, yeah. A little after 7 o'clock, you'd be sitting right here. He knew that. Foreknowledge of God. He knew that you were going to get saved. And He has a calling on your life. He has a job for you to do. And He has a plan for you. It doesn't mean we always follow it. But He has a plan for your life. When they come across these type of messages, how do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know what He wants me to do? By listening to the Word of God. That's how He called Gideon, the Word of God. If you're not in your Bible daily, if you're not in your prayer life many times a day, if you're not in God's house, if you're not serving Him, if you're not trying, if you're not loving Him, if you're not praying, if you're not studying your Bible, if you're not trying to learn about God, you're not ready yet. He's not going to give you the next step until you get the first one. There's some basic things that God has for every Christian to do. Every Christian. Anywhere in the world. Word of God, prayer, worship, service, and offerings. Those are basic requirements that God lays down for every Christian. Every Christian. If you can't do the basic things, baptism, if you can't follow through with the basic things, then you're not going to get the next step. You're going to stay stagnant. And stagnant becomes stale. Stale begins to stink. Stale becomes rotten. And the staler, the more stagnant that it comes, it takes more to get it cleaned up. And it says how? By the washing of the Word of God. God has a duty for everyone. What is it? Do you really want to know? Are you afraid? You don't have the spirit of fear. You have the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Do you really want to know what God has for you to do? Do you really want to know which way God wants you to walk through life? Do you really want Him to know what the path is you have for your life? Or are you just kind of, well, maybe I'll see what it is. If it's okay, then I'll, you know. No. It's not the way it works. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. This verse was with our lesson about Gideon. He had fears. He says, well, if you're God, why is all this happening? Because of sin. He tells them, verse 1 and verse 10 of chapter 6. He tells them in Judges, because you have not done what I said, because you haven't followed the word of God. That's why this is happening. This is why these things are happening in your life, because you're not doing it my way. It's not because God caused it. It's not because God is not doing it. It's because of the consequences of the decisions that we make. That's why. If you don't like the way things are going, then you've got to go God's way. It's obvious the other ways don't work. It's obvious. What's the old saying? Proof in the pudding? I can make pudding. Well, let me see some. Where's the pudding in your life? Where's the results in your life? I had another verse. Let's go over to that. 1 John 4:8. Back before Revelation, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. I'm sorry. 4:18 of 1 John. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. How do you get this love? Back in verse 16. And we have known and believe the love of God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. There is no way that you can know what love is if you're not saved. You may know what affection is, desires, lust, and some of those things. But until you are actually a born-again Christian, you're not going to know what true love is. Because God is love, and without knowing God, you can't really know what love is. The first step in any counseling is what I call square one. When were you saved? There's nothing in here to work with. You can't make the pudding. You know, it takes milk and all those things. I don't know what goes in it. But if you don't have it, it ain't going to work. I tried to make some peanut brittle one time. I don't know, baking soda, baking powder, I don't remember which it was, but I used the wrong one. Dog wouldn't even eat it. I cooked it, and you know, you're supposed to put the fork in there and bring it up, and it spins a little thread, you know, sugar and all. It wouldn't do that. Yeah, kind of smelled around that place. But you see, it has to be done the right way. If you don't do it the right way, it stinks. And if you don't do it God's way, your life becomes stagnant. In a rut. Somebody said a rut is a grave with both ends punched out. The only way to get out of a rut is to climb out of it. You can't keep doing what you're doing. The rut just keeps getting deeper and deeper. You have to climb your way out. people getting financial problems and they start borrowing money. Well, you're just digging a deeper hole. It doesn't work that way. You know? Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. You know, perfect love cast out fear. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. This is all for a reason. All of this is for a reason. Your holy calling, so you got something to do. God's got something for you to do. And that you can have boldness in the day of judgment. You're going to stand someday in the front of Jesus. We will all stand there, Paul said. And you're going to give an account of what you've done since you got saved. Well, I thought of our sins forgiven. Yes. But you're still going to give an account of what you've done since you got saved. You can stand in front of Jesus with boldness on judgment day and you say, I've done what you've asked me to do. I've done the best I can for what you've given me to do. And I've done all I know to do, Jesus. Can you say that? Can you say I've tried everything that you asked me to do? Can you say I've done everything you asked me to do? Can you say I've done the best I can do? I've studied, I've prayed, I've attended, I worshiped, I've done everything. Can you say that? If you can't say that, then you can't stand before the judge on judgment day in all boldness and say I'm innocent. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We're in this world, but we can still stand for judgment. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Verse 17, here is our love made perfect through Jesus. Down in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. If any man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now sometimes we disappoint each other and things happen and stuff like that. That doesn't mean you don't stop loving them, caring for them, praying for them, uplifting them in prayer. One of the best cures for hate is prayer. Pray for that person. Hey, I'm not saying they did you wrong. They didn't do wrong. I'm not saying that. So many people have the misconception that if you forgive them, you're condoning what they did. No. You're just not holding it. You're not hating them. Just because you say, doesn't mean I forgive them, doesn't mean you're condoning it. No. Let God take care of it. He's the judge. He'll take care of it. He'll handle it. You're to pray for them and love them and return them to the fellowship if you can. Some people don't want to return to the fellowship. They don't want to be a part of that. They got their own ideas, their own ways, their own things. Whatever. But listen. God has a job for you. Just like he had a job for Gideon. Gideon wasn't anything special. He was just a man that followed God. You look at his life, God did it all. God did it all in his life. God received the glory. He took him down from 20 some odd thousand, 30,000 men down to 300. So God would receive the glory. If God can do something in my life, he can do something in your life. I'm nothing special. used to be, if you took all the minerals out of the body, it was about $9 or so. You know, if you sold it, you melt it down to all the precious metals and minerals that's in you. It may be inflation. It might be up to 20 now. I don't know. But you know what he made Adam from? Dirt. Dirt. And then God breathed life into man, and man became a living soul. Without the Spirit of God, you're nothing more than a sack of dirt. He says, we have this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. But God made you special when He put His soul in you. God made you special when He put a soul in Adam. Made us different from all other life. No other life has a soul except for a human being. Made us special. And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes down and dwells in your soul. Says it's the earnest of your salvation. That's a promise. That's not a down payment. That's a promise as He's coming back to purchase the rest of you. And make you all holy. Not just your soul. Because the way this body is, the way this mind is, is not worthy to be in heaven. My soul is the only thing that got saved. Someday He's going to make it all worthy to walk the streets of gold and stand in the throne room of God. Moses asked to see God. He says, no man can see me and live. Because he was in his sin. John says, no man has seen his shape, heard his voice at any time. In our sinful condition, if we would come in the presence of God, we'd be destroyed. My son was in the Navy and they was washing out of one of the turbines. It got real hot. And they were supposed to run salt water through it. And they run some diesel fuel through it. Had an explosion. Big old fire. Those carriers got thick steel on them, man. Melted it. An explosion. Second time the ship's been out. That's nothing compared to a sinner. So it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. But perfect fear cast out. Perfect love cast out fear. Are you afraid of standing in front of Jesus? Are you afraid of looking Jesus in the eye? He loves you. He's got a holy calling on your life. Be proud when you stand in front of Jesus. As He says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. The requirement is faithfulness. Faithfulness, full of faith. He takes care of the rest of it. Let's stand at our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. See what God has for us today. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power and of love and a sound mind. Dear Jesus, we ask that You'll take this time, that You'll take these words, but take Your promises from the Word of God that we'll claim them in our lives as we serve You. If there's one here that's not saved, that today will be their day of salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.